be to the name of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you appreciate the Lord this evening?
Amen.
Amen. We'll sing one or two songs and thereafter we'll hand over to Pastor Louis. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is the strong tower the righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into. They are saved, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into. They are saved. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, and they are saved. Amen. You appreciate the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We'll sing one more song. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes and let me see.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin became. Here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, wonderful to me.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand there. Amen. You may take your seats this afternoon. I greet you in the name of our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back again, the house of the Lord, and we appreciate all the fellow saints and workers coming together this afternoon. We do understand it's a short notice, and some of you could have had other arrangements, but we appreciate that the sacrifice that you make this afternoon. And so we find... we were talking to the apostle and felt that there is a need that we need to be guided and tutored in certain areas, because if the pillars in the church is weak, then the building falls. And that is why it's so important for us as pillars to understand that we have an important aspect so that we can keep up the ministry. So we trust the Lord will bless you, and as we prepare our hearts, let's all stand again one more time and sing the song, Into Thy Presence, Lord, We Come, as we prepare to hear God's servant, what the Lord lays upon his heart as workers, that we learn to implement it and how we can become effective in the kingdom of God.
To Thy presence we come, not by the works we have done, but by thy grace and thy grace alone. Come, not by the works we've done.
It's my privilege to hand this pulpit over to our dear apostle, our dear pastor, Tony Gurulal. by thy grace and thy grace alone, and to thy prayer.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate all that you have done for us. And Lord, where you took us from, the miry clay. Each one have a story where they came from, Father. And I'm almost afraid to think where we'd be without thee. We are so thankful that you kept us from destroying ourselves. And have made us so afraid of ourselves, what we want, what we like, what we think, what we feel, what we know. Lord, that we hide ourselves in your word to say, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, have someone that you've placed to make decisions for me. For I am so conscious of my fallen, selfish ways. And our experience of life, of choosing, have chosen, has brought us to nothing but shipwrecks. And I believe, Lord, that when a man has come to such a place, he is ready to be used of you. It's not the man who has all the answers, but it's the man who can look to thee for answers. And we ask, Lord, your believing children, and many of them are tired, had long service this morning, they have work tomorrow, but they have gathered here, Lord, for something that will benefit them, benefit their ministry, their gifts, to benefit the church of the living God. And Lord, that you, they're expecting you to do something, to say something, and you say every gift, every joint supply. So may you cause us to supply that they might supply also to others. I pray that you strengthen us now, Father, remembering that these are many elders here and their wives and their relationship. And as we spoke this morning, that when you call a man, you call his wife, Father. In whatever capacity, Lord, they are involved. And we are so grateful for our wives. We are so grateful for, Lord, your wisdom. For you said if God can give a man anything better than eternal life, you would give him a godly wife. So we don't belittle it, and we know how important it is. Now help us now together as we look to how we can be better servants and how we can strengthen ourselves that we might be strength to the church. Help us that we might learn of ourselves what is our weakest part. And you said a chain is as strong as its weakest link. Help us, Lord. Let us not be that weak link. Strengthen us that we might, Lord, not be the one to break the chain, but be the one to help keep the strength of the church. It's our prayer and our Father in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'll just read a portion of scriptures. Let us stand just for 1 minute and read a portion of scriptures. All right. I just want to read the book of let us read the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 15, and let me see here if I got my notes. You have to forgive me here a little bit. Sometimes you have it and you lose it. Now let's read from the 11th verse. I've got it here to be read, but I need to read. No, let us read down to the, let's read the 27th verse so we can make it shorter. 15 and 27. I want to speak about the order of the battle that results in victory. And David was a king, a prophet king, was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Shenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. And you'll notice that David is counted, is dressed like a priest, you see. Was he a priest? Well, he's representing the Melchizedek order here. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet, and the sound of the trumpet, and the sound of the cymbals, making noise with the psalms and the harps. Psalteries and the harp. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the wife, the daughter of Saul, looking out at her window. Now remember, she was married to David. all right, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Let's read the 16th part of the 16th verse so you can catch the context. Right there, it's the 16th chapter, sorry. Right there. And so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent. And David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I realize tonight that we're speaking to diverse offices, deacons, trustees, songwriters, song leaders, musicians, and even the ministry, the fivefold ministry. And I believe this is recorded, Brother Louis. So we'll just maybe just do a heart of doctrine in it, just for you to see how important the many members of the body are, and working together with revelation and understanding how a people together represents an army. And in an army, there are ranks, and in their army, there are certain ways that you arrange your army so that you get the maximum result against the enemy. And God is calling us his army. Many a times, these language like army, and it seems so foreign to us. But be it made known that you are in a war. You are in war against flesh, and you are war against demonic powers. And you in this age you are living in an age where you're not just anointed continuously by people who are anointed with demons, but you're also having 200 million demons that are pointing to this bride. And so there's a host that is against you, believe it or not. And we must be aware that even though you say our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual wickedness. Many a times it is so disguised that you don't recognize it. And many a times the enemy plants seed in your thinking and allow you to formulate opinions that is destructive to your own household, your own ministry, your own group, your church, and so forth. So I just want to talk a little bit about, if you give me control, and I'm just going to read a little bit so you can develop the text. The divine order of battle results in victory. All right? Everybody okay? All right. All right. The prophet of God says here in 1961, very simple quote, but yet you can get the context of what he's trying to get the church to be victorious. Oh, somebody didn't plug us in. Why? And let there be light. Is it really me? Oh, okay. I'll read it while it comes up. You Methodists need it. You Baptists need it. You Pentecostals need it. All of us need it. God's going to say, why? Why is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why? Is there no prophet in Israel? Is there no God there? Has a Pentecostal lost their God? Don't they have any more gifts amongst Pentecostals? Have they no more prophet, gifts of prophecy? Prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, no one else to speak in tongues and give messages? One thing, you don't reverence them gifts enough. All right, so I want to draw a point here, and it's part of my notes, I mean part of my continuation a little bit of this morning, is that if someone gives you a gift, if you form an opinion of that gift and say, oh, that's, I mean, yeah, it's nice, you know, but you just, your attitude is not really towards the gift. You might think that way. It is really towards the giver of that gift. The way you approach a gift, whether it is your own gift, if God gives you a gift, you don't nurture that gift. You don't exercise that gift. You don't give time to that gift. You don't sharpen that gift. You really don't respect the giver of that gift. He could have given that gift to anyone. It is important whether you're a songwriter, whether you're a songwriter, whether you're a musician, whether you're a song leader, whether you're a backup singer, I don't care what gift you have. Every gift comes from God. And He can give it to anyone He wants to. But He gave it to you. And you should look upon it as a favor of the Lord. You should look upon it that He has made you someone that the body will need and must need. Because He does not give gift without a reason. If He gives you anything, He expects it back. If God gives you grace, He expects for you to be gracious to someone who is not deserving of grace. Someone who has offended you. Someone who might have hurt you. But because you have done so much to hurt Him, His kingdom, His people, His laws, His ways, and He was rich in mercy, He expects you to be merciful in the measure that He has been merciful to you. If He gives you grace, it's the same. He expects it back. He doesn't expect it back for Himself. He expects it from you to give it back to someone who is just like you or who was just like you. So God doesn't give anything without really asking for it back. If He gives you a talent, whether you want to count it as money or a gift, He's going to ask you, what did you do with that gift? He's expecting for you to give an account of the gift you give. Because the gift that He gives you results in a ministry. It might, whether it be preaching, whether it be ministry of song, whether it be ministry of music. But it is needful in the body because those gifts put together allows His children to live a victorious life. I'm going to show you today. We know so little. We have all the quotes. We have all the messages. We have all the seventh thunder, the third pole. We are this. We are that. But the fact of it, material in itself can do nothing for you except puff our heads up. It is doctrine that sets conduct and order. And when your conduct and order is set in the way God sees it line up, then He says the dynamics will strike it because the mechanics is right. We are in dire need in this message. I'm not talking about lodges. I'm talking about the born again church. We're in dire need of songwriters. We're in dire need of musicians that can play music to those songs. We're in dire need for our own identity. It's an identity crisis that we have in this message. Every single one, two souls claim their bride. You know, polygamists call their bride. Baal worshippers think they are bride. And we believe we are bride. But I believe that the songs that we sing, they cannot sing. The music that goes along when a born again musician puts music to a born-again believer who is inspired of God to write a song, I believe there's power in that. I know there are wonderful gifts in denomination, wonderful gifts on the radio, Christian music. I just want to ask you one thing. When they're singing songs, love songs about the Lord, which Lord are they singing about? Which Jesus? And I want to ask you, what inspiration did the Holy Ghost come and inspire them? Because they are really beautiful. They are really song. You think, if the Holy Ghost can inspire them to write songs that are truthful, then why can't He give them a revelation that is truthful? If it is the Holy Spirit, it is the gift of God that they have. But their inspiration is not from above, it's from below. But they don't know it. And Satan is willing because he's the best musician there is. He is the best song singer there is. That's what the Bible tells me. And he will anoint them in such a way that they're singing songs to a oneness Jesus and to a God who is a creation, not the creator, and leave the creator out. Songs, the Trinitarians are writing such songs that if you just stop thinking they're Trinitarians, you'll say, oh my, let's bring that in here. But where did their inspiration come from? And if that inspiration they're writing about the love for the Lord, is it the true inspiration? Is it true, the true one that the Holy Spirit inspired to love the right one? Oh yeah, they can bring tears to your eye. The reason for that is because in your heart you know what you're directing those songs to. But did it come from heaven or from the bottomless pit? Where did it come from? What is in their heart when they get those words? What are they thinking when they get it? And you say, Brother Tony, but it's what they're saying is true if you look at it the right way. But why did God not give them the revelation for them to know? Didn't. They're writing lies. They're redirecting it to the wrong one, the wrong people, the wrong worship, or the image of worship. But you are hearing it with your own heart. So who gave it? You see, it's like Christmas. As long as Jesus is wrapped up in it, it must be good. But not for us. You see? And it's so tied up with words and feelings and emotions that it catches us. But remember, this bride will not be deceived. She will be able to ask the hard questions. So your attitude, that's my favorite shoe brand. But you might ask the question, if God gave you a gift, if there is a gift in you, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Then I would ask, is it being appreciated? If you say, Brother Tony, I have a gift and I'm ready and I want to and I've been exercising, and Brother Tony, then I ask the pastor, I ask the ministers, have you recognized gifts? Is gifts, recognizing gifts, part of your ministry? See, I'm talking, but not just here. They're going to hear it in different groups. It is the responsibility of the pastor to recognize gifts. It is the responsibility of the pastor to take those gifts and encourage those gifts and to shape those gifts. Because God's gifts find their place, and it found its place under your administration. Because God's gift will find its place. It wants to be used. And I want to tell you also, look at the wise men. They weren't wise because they found the word. They were already skilled men. They were already wise men. They were skillful. But their real purpose of being so gifted, their gift, find its place when they found the true gift, which was the word. You might have a gift and you might have used it, but that's not really where it found its place. It really finds its place when it finds the word. And when it finds the word and it begins to give honor to the word, give gifts to the word, give your gift to the word, that's worship. That's worship. They were already gifted. It has to find its place. And it finds its place in a God-called ministry, in a church where a minister is born again and where the people are the people of God. To sing anywhere else in an unconverted church, in a lodge, is that really worshiping God? Is that really giving your gift to the true and living God? You say, Brother Tony, I was so praised there and I was important there and I was this there. That was not even received. It's when it finds its place. When it finds its place. When it follows, when those gifted men who have gifts follow a star and finds the Word made flesh. Then it's found its place. Then it found its meaning. And if you take those gifts and you try to go back to your denomination like Herod, that's what they did. They went back to Herod and these other great men to tell them, watch what happened. The star disappears. But when they leave Herod's kingdom, they leave the lodges, they leave ungodly men, and they come back out, guess what? It appears. We don't appreciate, he said, you don't reverence them gifts enough. I know you're talking about gifts like preachers and gifts. I'm talking about you personally. Do you reverence the gift God gave you? When you are married to a gifted person, whether there is a husband or a wife, if you are married a songwriter or musician, most of the time, songwriters, musicians, a lot of times they are melancholies. They are makeup because they are perfectionists and they are moody. They are moody. They have mood swings. And they can get low down and depressed. They are sensitive people. They get hurt quickly. But in the hands of God, He can take that mood and He can take that sensitivity. And in their quiet time, thinking about what people have done to them and said or hurt them or their feelings, they can put words to it in such a way that it impacts people with their songs. You cannot be a gifted musician or a gifted songwriter unless you have a way of taking your feelings that you're feeling and being able to put a tune to that, to express how you're feeling. And that's why if you're married to a gifted individual, you have to understand that their makeup, they need alone time. Most melancholy can sit alone for a day. They have got no problem being by themselves. In fact, they like being alone. They are gifted. They are artistic. And if you know that you have married one, and that is of the Lord, and he's doing something of the Lord, he has a gift, then you have to know, just like a pastor's wife or minister's wife, you have to know how to live with wisdom. Let him redeem the time. Do something constructive for the Lord, something important for the Lord. You've got to give them the time. If you're married to a gifted person, you can be a hindrance or you can be a blessing. And you will share with the blessings because you're investing. It's very difficult to be married to a gifted person. Like I say, their makeup is, they can be the happiest for a moment. And they can write about that joy and they can write about that experience. They can put words to it. And then they can come way down low and they can write about that too. And they could sing about that too. That's why Brother Bram said most prophets were melancholies. The emotions were all over the place. If you marry a gifted person, you watch and see if that's not true. If you marry an artistic person, you watch and see if that's not true. Again, greater than Solomon is here. So the first one is that is your reverence. Do you reverence the gift? Do you respect the gift? Has it found its rightful place? Because your attitude towards the gift is your attitude towards the giver. Now you might say, my husband is just a singer. He can really sing. You know, he could sing. And that. If you're just thinking like that, then you yourself don't really understand why God gave him that voice to sing. And why he can't affect people. You just think he's just somebody of the world. He is given a gift in the body of Christ. What a privilege that is. What an honor that is to be part of the congregation of the Lord. To serve the Lord in a way that only he can or she can. That nobody else. And God programmed that. That wasn't by accident. God programmed that. God says, I need it in my body. And if you don't believe it's important, then you know more than God. That's how important gifts are. Whether you're a deacon, whether you're a trustee, musician, song leader, preacher, you have got to reverence the gift God gave you. You've got to be thankful for it. You say, Brother Tony, I've got a gift. Once you have a gift, you have a responsibility. And you know what? That takes time. That's what it asks from you. It asks for time. Time to study. Time to pray. Time to look for inspiration. Time to speak. Time to knock on the little guitar and pick up the little melody. Time. It takes time. It takes time from friends. It takes time from wife. It takes time from children. It takes time from making money. Indians, making money. It takes time. So be careful. If you have a gift, such a responsibility is placed on you. Do you reverence it? Do you honor it? Are you grateful for it? Because one day he's going to ask you, give an account. And so that was important. There were other singers there. There were... No, he wouldn't ask about the others. He asked you. And if you are ready, prepared, and then the minister is not ready and prepared, he doesn't see it, he doesn't like you, he has a favorite, and he has a favorite this, then the minister will give account of that. Because the minister must make assessment. And the assessment must be, God give me a responsibility. These gifts, he knows I need them. The church needs them. It's not what I want. It's what he placed there for me to use. This is the raw material he gave me here. I must use it to build. I can't go out there and get another one. I must use what he lay here. God is a great builder. He lays out his material. Is that right? Then you take from where he lays out. You are the material. In you are certain qualities he takes from you to make that building, to make it work. Pentecostal people, let me say this with love. That's the reason you're not getting anywhere. That's the reason you're not getting anywhere. See, you've got gifts. You Baptist the same way. The gifts that's in the church. God gave the church. You see, the gifts that's in the church, God gave the church the power, but he never took it away from the church. You've got the power, but you don't know how to use it. You're not reverent enough. You're not what? Reverent. Now, I know it takes power to deliver. I know it takes power to deliver. It takes power to overcome. It takes power to be victorious. It takes power to live in the spirit. I need that. Don't you need that? Well, I think God put gifts in the body so that he can take from different batteries, as you would say, to energize the church in different ways. Deliverance can come by music. Deliverance can come from song. Deliverance can come from poetry. Deliverance can come from preaching. Deliverance can come from counseling. Deliverance can come from visions. Deliverance can come from many different ways. As we can see, as we are going to see in the Bible. How important should we be? This is the second quote on reverence in gifts. That's the reason you all speak with tongues. You just use it anyway. You see, some you speak in tongues, others do this, like Babylon. Don't do that. Put those gifts in their place. Another thing, if you're gifted, your gift has an order. Your gift has a place where it is to be used. You have to find its place. Can't take another man's place. God has a place for those certain gifts that he gives. Evangelist has a certain gift. He can't come up here and pastor a church. He'll destroy his own family. I've seen that a million times where evangelists, I know one brother in Trinidad, he's a multimillionaire. He's just an evangelist. I wouldn't even call him a preacher, really. He makes himself an evangelist. But he didn't want to pay millions of dollars and thousands and dollars in tithing. So what does he do? He becomes a pastor. You still have to pay tithing, but you see, he's in control. Every single one of his children is destroyed back home. Everyone, for the sake of money. You cannot, even though you're gifted to preach, you have to find your right place. You've got to find your right place. You might be gifted in many different instruments, but there is one in particular that you are blessed with. Then you stay with that. You can play the other things as you want, but the one that God raised you up to do, to be, you do it. No one will know that more than you and your shepherd. All right. See, reverence those gifts. Just don't make them a little happening. Oh, I got a gift to sing. If they call me to sing, I could sing anything. Don't do that. If you're a song leader, then are you really, really respect that gift, reverence that gift, reverence that office? Then where's your practice time? Where is your practice time? Where is your praying to say, Lord, what inspiration must I be singing? I don't even know where my pastor is going. But I know that must be of the same spirit. And the way you anoint him to preach is the way you will anoint me to choose songs that will be complementary to prepare the people's heart for the word to come. It is not just an office. It's not just a position. Oh, if the song leader can get in the spirit of the pastor, then brother, I tell you, there's going to be victory. There's going to be victory. You say, Brother Tony, but you know, we come up and we sing song. If you do anything without understanding, then you ground off whatever God is going to do or should be doing. You ground the power off. Because that which is not done of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Can we read it? Somebody read it out loud. We're informal here, aren't we? Yeah, today we are informal. Okay. Somebody with a good English voice. And that doesn't shake their head. Romans 14:23. And without revelation it is what? And he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Impossible. Whatever you are going to do, you have to do with revelation. You have to do with understanding. And the most important thing I can impart upon you today is that the simple things that you do, that you consider simple and unimportant, is the things you left out. And those are the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's why the fruits are not on the vine. Is those little things that you leave out. Those things that you just do as common. Many things you do, just you do. Because it's everybody does it, and that's the way it happens. And you just follow everybody. So you just think that's the way you should do it. But in your heart, you have no understanding of what you're doing. Even the simple things. You say, Brother Tony, I thought it was going to be a pep talk. I am giving you a pep talk. I'm giving you a pep talk on how to not waste your church time. How to come here and get maximum output. How to leave here with something every time you come. And how to bring prosperity and blessing in your household. Let's see if that be not true. See? All right. Now, I'm going to take my my understanding from Malachi 4 because I have, we don't have anybody to teach us but him. If I teach you anything outside of him, what am I doing? You understand? That's the man. That's him. Whatever I tell you, he must substantiate. Whatever I show you, it must be in his word. And I'm telling you how he says, you know, the reason you don't get anywhere with God is because you don't have reference for those gifts. And the reason you have no power is because no reference for the gifts. He said, use them right. Make them stay in their place. God give find their place. When you find your place, you don't have a choice. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. No! One of the greatest things with gifted people, they are not contented. And that's what Lucifer was, very gifted. But what was his problem? He was not content with what portion that God gave him. So what did he want to do? When you are discontented, you look for, you look at, you think, you wish, you dream you were somebody and something else. When you're gifted and you're really gifted and you begin to really catch the people, begin to see the gift and benefit from the gift, then demons come to say, hey, you know what happened if you were in the world? You know what happened if you were here? You know what happened if you were there? You want... Go back and look at the word, root word demons. Go back and look at the hermeneutics of that word. It's one who comes to bear wealth for you. That's how they get all the gifts. That's where a prophet says something. He's not just saying it. When he said, Elvis sold out from Mesa Cadillac. What? Demons came for him to pursue wealth. Because he knows gifted people. And he knows how it can use, how it can be used, how it can draw. So what does he sell it out for? Wealth. Look up the word. Diamond. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I command you in Horeb for all of Israel with statutes and judgment. If there is statutes of worship, it will be included in the word of God. Statutes will include everything that man needs and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day. Isn't it strange that Malachi say, remember Moses. And then he says, behold, I send you Elijah. Why? Because the man, William Branham, is going to be connected with these two ministry, Moses and Elijah. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with. And so if this is true, then this man is going to take me and refresh my memory of Moses, Israel, and the church. 1954. And when you say church, well, you must have church order. Not only just redemption. So what about Moses? So I'm going to go back to Horeb. He said, remember Horeb? Okay, we're going to remember it. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment. That's Malachi 4:4. Brother Rand says, he preached this text. He said, what is Moses doing? He said, Moses is getting them prepared to go into the millennium. He just brought the full word. You can't add, you can't take away. He said they were getting ready to enter into the land. He said to enter in the land is a type of the millennium. Are we here? We are right here, right? We are right here. Hear what he says. Which I teach you. Notice, I teach you. That's a prophet. for to do them, that he may live and go in and possess the land, which is the millennium, which the Lord God of your fathers give to you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Ye shall neither diminish aught from it. Why? It's vindicated. That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen. No, watch carefully. Watch carefully. Your eyes have seen what I did at Baal Peor. That was under Moses. Moses had a problem with the children of Israel and Baal worship. And you know what Baal worship is, right? Oneness, right? In fact, when he called them out in the Exodus, and when the prophet disappears, and they don't see him, guess where they went? Back to Baal worship. Back to oneness. And watch Elijah. What happened to Elijah to deliver them from the curse of destruction? Why? Elijah came to call them out of Baal worship. And to destroy Baal priests. And to destroy Baal altar. Now I want to ask you something. If Moses don't deliver you from Baal, if Elijah don't worship, deliver you from Baal, what songs will you be writing about? Who will you be singing about? Which Jesus will you be glorifying? Which is the one that delivered you out of Egypt? The Son? Almighty God. Which? Let us go to the book of Jude 1. I want to show you how important this is. Jude 1. Fourth verse. He tells us, go back to Moses. He said, Brother Tony, what does this have to do with worship? Just give me a few minutes. You see, it's not just, you could be as gifted as you want. If you have the wrong revelation, you have no right to be singing here. Because Paul said, if you sing in psalms or songs, he said, I will sing with understanding. If you do not sing with understanding, you are singing sin. See, that's like we could, that the preacher can preach sin, you can also teach them to sing sin. That's like your sermon is a sermon of false doctrine and sin. Your song can be a song of sin. Because you are not singing praises unto the Creator. You are singing to the creation. It's important. When he said go back, you go back. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Those are preachers. You can't put your finger on them. Who were before of all ordained to what condemnation? This condemnation. Well, what's the ungodly man? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And what? Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I put you in remembrance that though he once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, they went back to Baal. They built a golden calf. Afterwards, destroy them that believe not. That is why it says in Malachi 4, remember Moses. Remember Horeb. And then that takes you to Deuteronomy 4 and 4. You see? So you can have the best singer in the world in the message. But in other message, you say, but look at that singer. Hey, that's a real good song leader. But what is he singing? Baal songs. Worshipping Baal. Therefore, brother, amen. Be thankful if your song leader is born again. Be thankful if the songs he's singing is songs with understanding and revelation. Again. Let's do one more. 2 Peter 1. I want to show you. They deny Father and Son. They deny Father and Son. Deny the only Lord God. Let's look again. Look at 2 Peter now. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2. I'm developing a little bit slow. So if you listen quicker, I'll speak faster. No. But they were false prophets. The prophets are false teachers. Paul's anointed ones. Also among the people. What people? The Exodus people. The Exodus class. The prophet class. Hear what he says. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. He titled that Matthew 24:24. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. Even denying. Watch carefully. Even denying the Lord that brought them up. And bring upon them. So I want to ask you, who delivered them? They said, behold your gods. Behold the God that delivered them out of Egypt. Delivered you out of Egypt. Who delivered you, friends? Who delivered you? Who is your deliverer? Who is your song about? Who is your boast about? Who is your confession about? Who is your praise to? See, that's that man. That man that God gift put here to lead songs, or any place that God put to lead songs there, that man must know. He must know who it is that he is worshiping and who he's leading you to worship. Watch again. Let's go back to my notes. I'm quick. Just give me a few minutes. Watch again now. So you can't add. You must keep. Then he says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. That's Baal worship. For all the men that followed it, the Lord thy God destroyed them from among you. There's got to have to be a destruction of every single Baal spirit that is upon you here. And the men who have the little Baal, and they don't think it's a bad thing, and we really shouldn't separate from the Baal people and the oneness, and you know, they're really good people. You see, watch and see. Either they'll be converted, or the world will rub them so bad they'll take their place, because spirits unite together. That's why Brother Bram said, when you see the preacher get a hold of an adultery spirit, or you get a hold of a fornication spirit or some spirit, and you begin to whip that, you see people say, but you're too hard on the man. You're too hard. Anytime you hear him say, you're too hard on the man, when the preacher is exposing sin, you see he's got the same problem. He's got a sympathetic spirit. And what do you tell that man? Brother, you better watch yourself. It looked like you're sympathizing with that demon. But ye that cleave unto the Lord your God, not Baal, are alive, every one of you this day. Are you quickened? Are you alive? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit? Or are you of them that are dead while you yet live? You've been quickened. You've been made alive. Your eyes of understanding have been enlightened. They've come to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, who is his son. That's eternal life. Watch again now. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even the Lord my God commanded me that he should do so in the land wherein he go to possess it. And therefore, keep therefore and do them. Now I want to watch. I've got this in green because I want you to understand this. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations. This, in other words, this message, you're living it, you're believing it. It is your wisdom. It is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You think they could match you in the word? I am guaranteed you can take the least of you with father and son and tie up the oneness preacher. That's your wisdom. That's your understanding. They know not to ask you. They don't ask me a thing. They can talk in the corridors and in the back rooms and the secret corners, but they don't come to talk to me. They don't come to talk to Brother Louis. They know better than that. They know better than that. Don't you think they know better than that? They know better than that. So now I want to show you, if this is true, then what you sing, they cannot sing. The songs you write, they cannot write. The songs you sing, they cannot sing. That's for a people whose Lord is right here. This right here. But you that cleave unto the Lord your God. That's for you. Again. It goes on to say, for what nation there is so great. Now you just think about a nation. Think about your local church. Think about the people who know their God. Who had God so near unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we can call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that had statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. Only take heed to yourself. Keep thy soul diligent lest they forget those things which thine eye have seen and lest they depart. I'm going to skip this because you know. But the key part here is this. Gather me people together. I will make them hear my word that they may learn to fear me. That means to respect me. All the days that they shall live upon the earth and that they may teach their children. Now, that's the order set by David. And I can go back and I can take David's tabernacle, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you now Moses. There's a tabernacle of David and there's a tabernacle of Moses. I'm going to show you a change in worship between Moses and David. Because under Moses' tabernacle, there was no worship. There was no singing. There was no song leader. There was no musicians. There was none of that in the ark. There was none of that in the tabernacle. In fact, you couldn't be in there with what? You can be there with a golden censer. You can be there with a linen ephod. You can be there with a Urim Thummim. But you can't go in there with a harp. You can't go in there with a cymba. You can't go in there with a trumpet. In Moses' tabernacle, there is nothing to sing about. It condemns you. The law condemns you. What are you rejoicing for? There's nothing to sing. Nothing to sing about. But look at this order here. And David called for Zadok, Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, for Asahi, for Joel, for Shimei, and Eliab, and Abinadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of Levi. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark. Now this is a type of the opening of the seals. The ark is coming back. You could pick that up in Brother Branham picking up David in the book of the seals and showing you how the ark is coming back. Watch carefully. And sanctify yourself. That's why Brother Branham said, I must sanctify myself for the visitation of these angels. Did you hear him say that? And then he picks up Isaiah 6 and showed how you prepare yourself to stand in the presence of the king. How a people should sanctify themselves so that they know how to live in the presence of the king. Called cleanse and commission. Right? All right. Then he says here, for because he did not at the first, the Lord your God made a breach upon us. Because we didn't follow the right order, for they sought him not after due order. Now watch carefully. If you are going to have victory, you must have the right order. And you must have a revelation, an understanding of that order and what that will do for you. You must have that. I'm going to show you a very simple thing. Most people in the message don't know it. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They just come and they do it every day, every church day. Watch carefully. Now, so there's a consecration of the man of God. And watch who else. Look who else. The priests. So the priests and the Levites sanctify themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord. That's why the prophet said, you see, I've got to sanctify myself. That's why Branham Tabernacle was dedicated. But seeing is a good thing that he was going to rededicate the temple tabernacle again. Because it was for the opening of the seal. The ark is coming back. The ark is coming back. And the children of Levi bear the ark upon their shoulder with a stave, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. David spake to the chief of the Levite to appoint their brethren to be what? Watch carefully. If you believers believe that you got a gift to sing and play music and you don't believe it's important, watch, the ark must come back, but it must have gifts associated with it. What kind of gift? Amen. You see, David spoke unto the chief of the Levite to appoint their brethren to be singers with instrument of music and psalmistries and harp and cymbal sounded by lifting up the voice with joy. In other words, the ark is coming back. It's a type of the opening of the seals. And when that happens, amen, John saw himself in the book and he said, heaven, on the earth, under the earth, heard me, John say. The ark is coming back. It's a time of worship, watch carefully, like had not been before. Is the ark coming back? Did the prophet tie the ark coming back with the opening of the word? And how David got a stimulation of the revelation. And what did David begin to do? He began to play and dance. Amen. He began to play and dance. Read your scriptures carefully. Why was he, amen, why was he playing and dancing? Because he knew what this meant. He knew that if the ark came back to Israel and found its place, God had now had preeminence in that church. If the word is here, then God has preeminence here. And if God is here and the people know what the real word is, what it means the eyes of the Lord is upon you. And brother, that is why the songs, the singer can sing and you have people singing behind him. You rather force them to sing then. They know what they're singing about. They're singing because the ark, it could have gone somewhere else, but it didn't. It chose you. You say, Brother Tony, what are you talking about, the ark? I'm talking about the revelation of the word. The word. The ark carried three things. The manna. Is that right? Aaron's rod that bought it. Is that right? And the law of Moses, they took the covenant. That is what it's carrying. That is what it's going to be. He said, he appointed them. So the Levites appointed Hermon, the son of Joel, and of his brethren. Now I want to ask you, if the singing and the musicians was not important, why would God name them? And I say, if God named them, they are important in the body of Christ. I said, the song leader is important. The musician, he knew them by name. He recorded it in the holy word of God. How about your name? Is it important? You see, he said, we don't have enough respect. We don't have enough reverence for these orphans. Oh, did he just a guitar player? Oh, really? Not in the eyes of the Lord. That's a ministry. That's a gift. I know there are people who teach themselves. That's okay too. They want to do something for God, encourage them. But I'm talking about gifts. Okay, name them. And of his brethren, Asaphah, the son of Bashiah, and the sons of Merai, their brethren, Ethan, and the son of Cushai. And with them, the brethren of the second degree, Zachariah Ben, and Aziel, and Sheramoth. Look at the names. He's naming them. So the singers, Hermon, Asaphah, Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. You see? And then they have another course. You see? So they have, you have each one of them. And Shenaniah, the chief of the Levi, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. I can't hear you. You need men who are gifted, know about song, know about music, know about voice, so he can help teach the other ones who are gifted also. We need that. We need to have Brother Hine travel to different countries, different churches, and do work with gifted people. We need that. Is it important? Because he was skillful. Where did that skill come from? All right. Let's move on. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, all Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Shenaniah, the master of song with the singers. Amen. Bro Tony, you all denomination, you all have a chorus. You have a chorus singers. They had chorus singers. They had master of song. They had singers behind him. I can't hear you. Oh, you all. It's because they don't know the word. And all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of cornet and with trumpet and cymbal making. All of Israel on the earth heard them say when the ark was coming back, they were worshiping the Lord. They don't even know their names under there, but they were worshiping. Why? The anointing of what the ark coming back means is coming back in our day when John saw the Lamb take the book and break the seals and open and reveal it. John saw his name there. And all on earth and all in heaven and all under the earth heard I, John, say blessing and honor and glory and power unto the Lamb. And the prophet is taking this and tying it back to the opening of the word. And David being caught by the stimulation of the revelation and begin to sing and dance. Are you okay? Now I want you, I'm talking, you can go back to prove it. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. See if what I'm saying be the truth. Those of you who have read the sealed book know already that's the truth. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. We know that's Matthew 24:24. We understand that. Now look, the reason I want to put this in is because what I am saying here, somebody, oh, that's not important. You know, you spending so much time on worship and the drusty board and the deacon board and, amen, what? It's the word. Well, if it's just the ark, why were they singers? Why they were song leaders? Why they were different instrument players? Prove it! And if it be true, then stop thinking like those unfruitful people that taught you from those lodges about church and what message means. Forget about that! This is a divine order. And God is a God of order. And he puts nothing in the body without a reason, a purpose, and that which is necessary for his people. Forget about that. The word cannot come back without worship. It cannot. It's important. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest. Therefore, he said, awake thou that sleepeth. Were you asleep? How many were asleep in denomination? Well, I know some of you just came from, Brother Louis Church is a kind of unique church. I can't catch you, but I can catch some of you. Were you asleep in denomination, Brother Henry? You were asleep in the Oneness Church too. That's true. That was true. You see? And arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. See then he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Watch carefully. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. See? Therefore, be not wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You've got to redeem the time. You come to church here 3 times a week. You spend 2-3 hours. You got to know what you're doing. You got to do it with understanding. To get the maximum result, you got to know that everything you're doing has an output. If you're putting in, so you should be getting something out. That's how it works. You put in a prayer life, you sweeten your spirit. You put in a prayer life, you become sensitive to the will of God because you can't pray without reading your Bible. How can you pray without reading your Bible? You don't know what to pray for. You see? All right, now, watch carefully. So we want to understand. This is the Ephesians. It's a wise people. See, therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? You come to church. What is the will of the Lord? We have children. What is the will of the Lord? We have these gifts. What is the will of the Lord? Because in the 4th chapter, he placed the gifts. You see? I give gifts unto men. Now watch carefully. We have songs for victory. We have songs of redemption. We have songs of love. You see, we have song of deliverance. We have song to glorify God for worship. There's many songs, but we need to understand. We need to have an understanding what this worship and these gifts are about. Speak to yourself in Psalms. In other words, you do it all the time. You're singing songs. Just yourself hearing. And you're singing those message songs that mean so much to you. The hour of enlightenment. And you sing it over and over until Hein wrote another chorus. Another stanza. Isn't that right? What is it? You're singing songs that have meaning to you. Something that had an effect upon you. Something that enlightened you. You see, you're singing with understanding. You see, you're speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not just any kind of songs. Just because it's sung beautiful and it has melody and because it's catchy and because, amen, spiritual song is revelated songs. Songs that are inspired by the message of the hour. That's spiritual song. That's what he said. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto the Lord and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to, yes. What does songs do? What does worship do? Why are these gifts so important? They're important because, watch carefully, to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. So when God arise, his enemies scatter. Isn't that right? If you can get God on the scene, your enemy scatters. Let them also that hate thee flee from thee. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence. In the presence of God, there's what? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Joy comes by revelation. The presence of God, you can't see an invisible spirit, but you can see an anointed man when he's anointed and he's bringing that word. And he's bringing that word, and that word has you all choked up and moving in the spirit, and you begin, and you know that you're in the presence of God. You know that's the truth. See? So when an anointed man is anointed of the Lord, he's bringing truth. He's bringing light. He's bringing revelation. He's bringing correction. Is that right? But the Bible said that the wicked, this is a condemnation, they rather darkness more than light. They can't stand the presence of light. The wicked hate the light. They cannot sing our songs. They cannot hear our doctrine. It offends them. I want to see how they're scattered. But let the righteous be glad at the light, at the revelation. Now, what brings God? What causes God to arise so that his enemies could be scattered? The Bible said he come to inhabit the praises of his people. From the minute you start, the song leader start, the music start, and the worship starts, and the hearts are right, God arises. Because it is the introduction to say, Lord, we are ready. Send your anointing. Send your Holy Spirit. Arise, amen, and come amongst your people. Inhabit the praise, and you watch and see how demon power begin to scatter. Because the anointing breaks the yoke to free your mind from the things of the world and the troubles to the one who can solve the problems. From your sickness to hope that there's one who can heal the sick. There's a reason why we start the service with worship, with songs, with praise. And you can't do that without gifted people. They are essential to scatter the enemies of the Lord. They're essential to the victory of the church. Essential, brother. Watch. Watch carefully. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him in him that rideth upon the heavens. By say, by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Amen. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with what? Understanding. Who can sing with understanding without this message today? Can you sing without this message? Can you sing songs, spiritual songs, revelated songs, songs of understanding without this message? No. I say to thee, you are the only, amen, the born again bride, the one who come to know their God, is the only people that will accept worship from. Because you must worship in spirit and in truth. Watch how important it is for you to sing praises with understanding. How are you going to sing praises if you are not taught the songs of praise with understanding? We need song leaders. We need songwriters. We need them not only to teach us, but they need to teach us new songs. Continuously, there should be a time where there's a couple of people who are gifted, who's got voices, who believe that God has placed a gift for them to contribute to the body. Because without you, there is no real victory. Some deliverance here, some deliverance there. But real victory takes a body work. Takes the understanding of what it means when you come in here and you start song service. Watch again. Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's how much understanding means. Paul said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with understanding also. If you're singing and you don't understand you're singing what you're singing, then something is wrong. It's Jesus in Jesus. It's the invisible Jesus. Look at the songs that are being sung. They'll frighten the oneness in the message. To them it's heresy. To us it's glorious. It scatters the wicked. Again. Be not children in understanding, how be it in malice, be ye children, but in understanding be men. Now, I want to follow up on this because it's important that you understand what we are doing, what you are doing. The chariots of God are 20,000 and thousands of angels of the Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. That's the church. That's the presence of the Lord. That's where the prophet met God. Sinai, watch carefully. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captives. Thou hast given gifts unto men. This very song, or Psalm 68, opens, Lord, arise. Scatter thy enemies. And here now, he says the scripture in Ephesians, where he gave gifts unto men, and then he tell you the gifts that he gave. Is that a coincidence? Watch carefully. Blessed the Lord, who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He's our God. The God of salvation and the God that belongs to the issue. And the God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. That which kills us, that which destroys us. He has deliverance of that. Ye have seen, now this is carefully. You have seen the goings, O Lord. They have seen thy goings, O Lord. We have seen when the anointing comes, when the Holy Spirit comes in the prophet's ministry. We have seen it come sometimes in a ministry. And when it comes, how it brings such deliverance. How it brings such victory. Watch carefully. Even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary, in the church. In other words, amen, the prophet himself, you can see that when the song service is finished, after he's set in order, he comes forth. And when he comes forth, you can see the going forth, what happens when the Lord arises to come and inhabit the praise of his people. Now notice, David is setting up the order. If you want to see the goings, the order set, and you want to see God in action, he says here, the singers went before. That's why you have songs first. The singers come first. The song leader come first. The singers went before. The players or musicians follow after. And among them were the damsels. Amen. Playing the tambourines. Bless ye the congregation, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. I want you to notice from 60, from the 24th to the 26th verse, amen, is the order of victory, whereby God inhabits the praise of his people, comes down to scatter the enemy. Whatever, amen, demons that is anointing you, any demon that's afflicting you, they have to scatter. Coming to break the yoke. He's coming to deliver his people. Watch how he goes forth in the prophet's ministry. There's an order. There's a reason why we do what we do. Some people say, well, you know, they're singing song. I'll come in. There's 20 minutes. I'll come in 5 minutes before. You don't know the importance. You come in late before the song service. Don't prepare yourself because you don't know the order. In fact, you're saying to yourself, you're telling everybody, I am unlearned. I don't know God's goings in, how God goes. I don't see how he works in a sanctuary. Watch carefully. You have seen your divine order. It has a divine order. All right? It came to pass that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat in battle. Now, you're in a battle here. When you come to church, you're in war. All right? Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, from the side of Syria. And behold, there is Hamazona Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now remember, what does Judah mean? Praise. Judah gathered himself together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, and Judah in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? Art not thou God of heaven that rulest thou over the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who seekest to drive our inhabitants and this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwell therein and have built the sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, and the famine. If you take these things and go back to the first four seals, you'll find them there. And the beast, the famine, the pestilence, the sword. And the four enemy tools. And we stand there before the house of thy presence, and cry unto thee in the affliction, that thou wilt help thee. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab. Amen. And Mount Seir, before they would not let Israel invade. Then they came out of the land of Egypt and turned them and destroyed them not. Now, I'm going to skip because I'm reading a lot, but I want you to catch the context. It's a battle, okay? And then watch it says. It said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. And about Jehaziel and the son of Zechariah and the son of Benaiah and the son of Jeriel and the son of Son and the son of Asaphah came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The king Jehoshaphat, thus say the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziv. And ye shall find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness. Now watch the instructions for victory. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord your God. That's what you do in your sanctuary. You want to see his going in. You want to see his order. You want to see how he delivers. It's not yours. It's not the pastor's. Watch carefully. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Watch carefully. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up and praised the Lord God with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah." Now here's what Jehoshaphat said. "O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." You believe in Jehovah God? Jehovah Elohim? "So shall you be established." One God, not two. One God. "He shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Do we believe those two? Don't we believe those two? We believe that. We believe in the one true God and we believe in his prophet. Now, and watch carefully. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed" what? He appointed what? "Singers unto the Lord." Are they important? Now watch. No singers, no victory. No singers, no Lord coming down. "Arise to inhabit praises." No coming to inhabit praises. No enemies being scattered. Watch carefully. "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness." Amen. And as they went out before the army, they went out, what? And to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes. When they began to sing and to pray, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, among Seir, which will come against Judah that was smitten. Now, you see, what you don't see behind these nations are demons. Are demons. Those are the demons that are against the elect people. You are the Judah. You are the praise of God today. Amen. Anything that sets itself against you, do you believe in Jehovah God? Do you believe in his prophet? Do you have the right order for singers to praise God? The battle when you come to church is not yours. If you set the right order, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. That's the victory. Watch again. You just don't come to church to sing songs. You come to church for victory. You come to see the demons scatter, your enemies scatter from you. Watch carefully again. And Judah means praise. Watch the power of praise. Watch Paul and Silas in jail. Wasn't Paul and Silas in jail? What did they do? They know footstep means possession. So even if they put their footstep in prison, it means possession. Let's have church. Let us praise God. Let us praise God. And all of a sudden the jail open. What is it? Does praise bring deliverance? Does praise bring victory? Amen. You gotta know the power of praise. You got to know the power of worship. And I tell you truth, if they don't teach us songs, if there's no songwriter, how are we going to sing? If there's no musicians, how are they going to play music to the songs? If there are no song leader to teach us, how are we going to learn songs of deliverance, songs of praise? How important are you, brother, when you don't have enough reverence and enough respect for those gifts in your life? The church loses the victory. When the pastor and the elders don't understand the ingredients of every gift finding its place, we lose the victory. Watch. Watch David and the demon that was on Saul. He said, "Bring him," and he played, and demon left Saul. Power of praise. The power of music. A gifted musician, David. A gifted songwriter. An anointed gift. Why not you, brother? Why not Brother Terrence? Why not Brother Theo? Why not Brother Charles? Why not, amen, the ones, Brother Israel and so forth? Why not the same? That when you play, don't worry about the rest of people. When you play unto the Lord. If you're going to sing, sing unto the Lord. Teach us new song. Spend time with your gift. Spend time with your instrument. Amen. And God will bless you and God will use you and God will anoint you. Amen. And you will contribute to the victory of the people of God. Don't just come just to come. Come prepared. Amen. Have practices. Have us new songs to learn new songs. Amen. Give room for the learning of new songs. Be, put it up on here. Print it on papers, whatever it is. Watch again. He comes to inhabit the praise of his people. The revelation of the tribe of Judah is that Judah represents kings and priests. They represent the Melchizedek order. That's a whole set of notes from another side, but let's leave that alone. Music has seven notes. Is that right? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? There are seven seals. There are seven thunders. There are seven church ages. There are seven colors in light. There are seven eyes. There are seven horns. You think that's, there are seven trumpets. There are seven, you think that's by accident? So who is the originator of music? Lucifer or God? It must be God. Is that right? And if the opening of the word can bring us to our place, if there are seven churches to develop a bride, don't you think at the end time when the bride is to be complete, when the body of Christ, when the church of the living God come to the knowledge who she is, don't you think her songs will reflect that? Don't you think that God has also put seven notes to know that there's going to come a perfection of worship among the saints? To know what the power of those seven notes can produce? Watch. When the book was open, it moved us in a higher realm of worship and of understanding. Now, be careful here because this is a little bit of tricky doctrine. I want to tie 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The ark coming back is the opening of the word. David setting up the singers, the songwriters, the musician in order was setting back the worship. That was in Revelation 5 when the word was open. When John saw his name in there, there was a time of worship. And John represents the bride. I want to show you that Revelation chapter 5 is Job 38 and 6. Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who had laid the cornerstone thereof? Now that's natural and spiritual. Do you know who laid the foundation? Do you know who laid the cornerstone? Who laid Jesus Christ the cornerstone? Was it not God? In the fullness of time, God didn't send forth that stone. Who laid it? And who gave the finish to Zerubbabel to see the headstone coming back with shouting of grace, grace? And is the headstone coming back, not the opening of the word? Watch what Job said. When the morning star sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That fulfillment was at the opening of the word. At the opening of the seal, when John began to say, all in heaven, all on earth, all under the earth, heard me say. But not just him. Watch carefully. And when he had taken a book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, everyone having harps and golden vials, full of the orders, which are the prayer of sin. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, that thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, people, nation, and hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, right there, Judah. And shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of how many angels? Sons of God also? Anointed? Amen. Many angels rung about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them, 10,000 times 10,000, times thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb! Where were you when the sons of God shouted with joy? That which they saw in the vision there, that which was anointed there, is a fulfillment here. How much more if we really know what happened at the opening of those seals and what that message does for us. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, and every creature, I can't hear you, which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, such as in the sea, and all that therein I heard, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and a Lamb forever. And the four beasts said, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. They saw the work of redemption. These angels, Brother Branham said, Brother Louis has that quote, they saw the work of redemption coming to completion, and they were anointed to represent the bride. John saw himself in the book. He came to see himself and know himself face to face. Also, to come. He also the bride. We come to know who we are. Now, I want you to watch this. This is where my thoughts are. I really love singing. This is the law of shadow. I really love singing and music. I know we all do. How many knows what the order of the battle is for the Lord? I want you to listen to. I want you to know what the order of the battle is for the Lord. You know what the first thing went forth before the battle? Singers and musicians went forth singing. I gave the scriptures before I gave the quote. Not weeping and wailing. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, you're so great. No! Singers and musicians! Not people coming to the altar here crying and praying before church. That is pagan and heathen as heathen can be, the prophet said. No. Amen. Singers and musicians went forth singing, not weeping and wailing. They went forth singing. Then after that come the Ark of the Covenant, so that they went before the Ark. And then after that come the fighters. So that's a good thing. It's very scriptural order for a religious service. You see, it's not just the word, the preacher coming anointed and preach the word. If the other section of the song leader and the musician don't do their part, the victory is grounded. How important are our singers? How important are our musicians? How important are our songwriters? How important, friend? Note, we must have an understanding. When we are preparing to come to church, before we walk through that door, we know the battle has started. We start in the order. Amen. I consecrate myself for the opening of the word. Every time I come here, it's a type of the opening of the word to me. I consecrate myself like the prophet said. You know, I consecrate myself for the meeting with these angels. Did he say that? I consecrated myself for the meeting with these angels. Consecrate yourself to meet with this angel. Consecrate yourself. Confess your faults. Get yourself cleaned up. You and your wife have trouble. You talk about it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get everything right. When you come in here, you come in with a revelation. This is the first part of the ingredient to get victory. This is the first part that I'm going to get in the spirit. Some people come and they listen to everybody singing. How can the enemy scatter from you? How can the enemy scatter when you are not involved, amen, in the worship that he comes to inhabit your voice, your praise, your revelation, your understanding, what's affecting your heart? You think it's like this? Deliverance, Lord. I can't hear you. You want, what do you want to be, a spectator, no deliverance, or a participator? It's together we worship God. Together we worship God. Not up here and you just watch. That's American. They want to be entertained. We must have an understanding and a revelation of the order of the battle. So that's why the deacon, now let's deal with the deacons. The deacon must know the order and the importance of keeping the church so the divine order is not disturbed. You understand? That's why the deacon, amen, sometimes the pastor will let him come and talk and tell you, you parents, now we want victory. You got to talk with them in revelation. We want victory. You don't want to waste our time, come to church, get nothing and go back. We want victory. We want to see the goings of the Lord. We want to see deliver. We want to see the enemy scatter. So the deacon will come and say, you know, parents, I want you to do, you know, for us to get this victory, for us to keep the right order, for be pleasing unto the Lord. Teach your children how to use the bathroom. Now when they come to church, they go straight to the bathroom. Teach your husband straight to the bathroom. If he got a little prostrate problem or whatever, God can deliver him. If not, let him sit close until deliverance comes to the bathroom. So you don't be walking up and down. Use some wisdom in the planning of how you sit. So they don't get up to disturb the service, because we want nothing to interfere with the order. You understand? We want God to inhabit our praises. And the way that we do it is that we reverence the minister. We reverence the song leader, the minister of song, the musician. We are so thankful for them. We know their importance now. Without them, it's victory. Before that, it's just the pastor, it's his word. I'm coming just in time for Brother Louis on the pulpit. Because you're foolish. You're unlearned. You don't know the order of God. You don't know the order of victory. You don't know the order of the battle. But Ephesian bride says, be wise, know the will of God. Watch very carefully. So that you know the order important in keeping the church in divine order. You see, not to disturb. That's where the deacon really comes in. He comes in because he's talking to the people. He's teaching them the importance of order so that we don't interrupt the divine order that will bring us deliverance. The parents now teaching their children how coming in. Let's come in right, because you see, if we all come in right, if we really honor, respect the gifts, get ourselves in divine order of the battle, amen, the enemy will scatter. If you don't have a revelation when you come into church, you're defeated already. It's just a tradition. You come in here, you sing a few songs, then you see the word is going to deliver me. No, God don't work like that. God have an order. You have to respect every part of that order, which means to respect every gift that found its place, because it's important for the victory. The battle is the Lord. Then he anoints his servant with the sword of deliverance after the singing and music. After he comes down to inhabit the praises, now he's going to operate through the word. So he's going to anoint the man of God. And he anointed that man of God to bring the sword, amen, so that he can deliver, can bring deliverance. Watch carefully. So, deliverance. So he anoints a servant with the sword of deliverance after the singing and the music. The anointing means the battle is the Lord's, because he is the one in control. He is the one in power. The man is only being used. His gift is only being used. Then all unbelief, all sickness, all the spread of infirmities are scattered after the divine order. You see, that is why Paul says not to quench the spirit. When the word is going forth, amen, and something hits you, stimulates you, give you joy, amen. You say, amen, praise God, hallelujah, so be it, thank you, Lord. Amen. Why? Because you're receiving what the Lord is giving. But if you quench the spirit, then you're working against the order of the Lord and the battle. Watch carefully. You got to know what you're doing. You see, there is power and deliverance during and after the music and singing. The sword is coming. He's coming to do battle. So when that sword comes, he's coming to do battle. What? The fear is gone. Condemnation is gone. Imagination is gone. Reasoning is gone. Doubt is gone. Then the only thing is left for the enemy to scatter. That's how we bring deliverance through the word. God don't want to come and do miracles among you. Miracles, it means there's no faith. It means God have to come and supernaturally do something. But when you are delivered by believing the word, the anointed word, when the church pattern is in order, amen, that's how he comes to do battle. And what happens now? You take what you believe by faith and you claim it. You watch and see. Your confession, you'll bring it to pass. Watch again. Faith muscles comes and demon flee. The enemy is scattered. Psalm 68, we read it. Then the dance follows victory. Miriam singing. Amen. Miriam dancing. Look at David bringing back the ark. What does he do? He sing and dance. Amen. When you see that word come into your heart, in your life, you can't help. Amen. After the end of the service, you're singing, but you're singing the song of victory, the song of deliverance. You're dancing. Amen. Because that's what dancing is. Dancing was a sign of victory. Dancing was not to show how movable your part is. You know how limber you are. Like how they exercise, they call it dancing. Dancing was victory. I'll shut it up. There's a few more. Singing and music brings a supernatural God on the scene. It creates an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of gratefulness, of hope, of love, and thanksgiving. It brings God down because the people are so looking to Him. They're singing about Him. Their songs is about Him. Their thoughts is about Him. The trustees begin to see the need, how important these musicians are. The trustees begin to see that they are essential part of the victory. So they begin to say, boy, you know that guitar? You need another one? Because that song is kind of funny. You need strings? Brother, how about this piano? How about the trustees now who kind of mingy when it comes to music? Now say, hey, you could spend something. It's really important. These gifts are important. The instrument is important. Then the trustee says, you know what? This is so important. You get to the deacon and say, you know, hey, this is an essential part of our victory. If we see anybody who has a potential with a gift, why don't we help subsidize their lessons? Let the parents put part, we put part, and send the boy to learn something. We'll give him some classes. What? They are so caught up now in wanting to be part and contribute to the victory of the church. They set the battle in the order the way the Lord set it. The trustee now worrying about, hey, this speaker's not really good, you know. They start realizing how important worship is. They begin to want to invest in the musician, invest in the instrument, invest on the microphone, on their feedback speakers. They want to invest on the speaker. They want to invest because they see the importance. Nobody have to twist their arm. Now they have respect for the musician. They have respect for the player, the violin player, the disc. They have respect. And all the believers begin to say, brother, that was a good service. Nobody, sometimes they just shake Brother Terrence and say, that was a good worship service. Nobody say, Brother Charles, hey, you know, that was some really good playing. Or, you know, I enjoy that keyboard. Or, nobody. You are just existing. So, you just exist. Because nobody knows the importance of the gift that God give to contribute every member to bring victory. He concerned about the sound in the building, the speakers, the microphone, the instruments. You see, the song leader see the need for practice. He now knows how important his place is by revelation, by understanding. Now he takes it serious. And his wife begin to say, honey, you need to go and pray. You need to get some inspiration from the Lord. You can't come here and then write down some songs that you just think last minute. Amen. 2 days ago, you should be praying about that before you come here. Sunday, Friday, you should be done with that. You have to preach, you have service Thursday, Tuesday, you should be done with that. Amen. You have to, you see, you're prepared. You don't give God your leftovers. You don't squeeze in your time for Him. You take it serious. You're a come up here, you're anointed song leader. You're anointed players. The songwriters, supposed to be songwriters. The songwriters see the need for inspired songs, with inspired words, with inspired revelation. Now they begin to want to write songs. Because why? It's important. It's important. I know my heart when I hear a revelated song, a new song. I am so pleased. I'm so happy. I'm so stimulated. I'm so excited. I'm so blessed. How much more the Lord? And you're not singing about me. I'm excited and the song is not about me. How much more Him? How much more Him stimulates the songwriters? Amen. They want to write. Amen. Their husband and their wife. If you have a songwriter, you pray for him and encourage him, honey. Amen. The Lord will give you a masterpiece. Oh, and when He give you one masterpiece, if He give you one, He can give you another one. They don't mind giving up time to their ministry and calling, to practice, to play, to to get together. You don't have to force. Well, you know, boy, out of work, you know. I mean, amen. They see how important their little gift is. How important it is for the overall victory of the church. How the battle is set in order of the Lord. No singers, no victory. No musician, no victory. Now you come to church. Song service going to finish just now. I could come in a little later. Catch Louis in the end. After all, it's the word. Don't come because you ain't getting nothing. You have disrespect and dishonor. You don't understand God's array of battle. Why should he deliver you? They, by revelation and understanding, see the importance of their gift and ministry plays in the order of God. Each one of them now know. And each one of you know. And so you are so encouraged with them. And you so begin to tell them, I appreciate your guitar playing. I appreciate you are here. I appreciate it. And then now you are seeing the essential part of their ministry, their gift that God gave. And if God give it, it's important. Not just a man who preach a good service. But they are essential part. He is a part. They are a part. You come to church, you're thinking, amen, I got to get there before song service. I got to get myself right with the Lord. I got to get myself ready to lift my voice. I got to get it ready that the voices of the people go up with the songs of revelation and inspiration. And God comes down to inhabit that praise. And you've got to have confidence, amen, that enemy will scatter victory today. You come in, every day you come in for war. Every day you come in for battle. You're prepared. That's the order of the Lord. The opening of the seal is to bring back the ark. Note, we must have an understanding and a revelation of the order of the battle. The deacon must know the order of importance of keeping the church in divine order. It's not to disturb. The deacon watches to see no one interferes in that order. And when you see the deacon, you know, watching and correcting and trying to just encourage them to keep quiet and things like that, you should be happy. Because if he could keep it in divine order, then it's not disturbed and you could get victory. Don't look at him as somebody who's... Look at him as a man who's preserving the order for your victory. He says, no talking. Teaching the parent to limit the children bathroom breaks. Let them use the restroom before they enter the sanctuary. Preparing for war. Preparing for the presence of God. Reminding them, sometimes you forget, you walk in there with a little chewing gum. You know, you say, hey, brother, remember, we want victory today. We want the order set. We want to reverence the presence of the Lord to come down and inhabit the praise of the people. And then you, each one, begin to be a little deacon. Hey, victory today. You forgot the gum. You see? He said, my breath smelling. He said, all right, I could bear with you. Take it out. You see, it's a revelation. It's a revelation that we all together create the atmosphere and the reverence and the importance of every gift and every gift in its rightful place so that we can have the order of the Lord for victory. It's not a matter of you, for the bride is revelation. It's all revelation. For the bride is understanding. It's all understanding. It's not no rules. The pastor is responsible to recognize the God-given gifts, to encourage the gift, to shape the gifts, to place it in its rightful place. God's gift always finds its place. But it always come and find its place. It has to be placed. A man doesn't come and say, I want to be a guitar player. The pastor says, you sit down there. I don't like your attitude. But yet, if he's really good, the pastor needs to talk with him and say, look, you've got a tremendous gift. Right? But playing, gifted people have problems. They are individualists. We don't want to go up here and you run a chord, you know. Won't you play complimentary with everybody, even though you could play better than all of them? That's the secret. The secret is to be complimentary, not to be an individual in the music. You'll have time when you could do solos. Then you can... Until that time, you... bear with them. You know? That's the secret with gifted people. You see, they're individuals. They want to show their talent. They want to, but there's time for that. But more maturity is when you work for the betterment of all. Even though some of them who can't play well, you're bearing with them. Well, not where you are. You have to bear with them. And that hurts you. Right? But no, it doesn't. You're creating an atmosphere for victory. No, the pastor appoints and places. He also takes down. He could appoint you, he could take you down. You see, his ministry is part of the worship responsibility. So no vote is needed. A pastor is the one who puts up, and a pastor is the one who takes down. He doesn't have to give you a reason why he takes you down. You can go and have all the mind battle. You don't like me, and maybe I did something wrong. Forget all about that. He has a right to put up and take down. Maybe you played for a year and you want somebody else to play, give them experience. He can do that, but why must he explain it to you? You don't have to do anything wrong for him to take up and put down and let somebody else to play. Because he's a father. He wants everybody to get a chance to express their gift. After all, you know, 4 guitar players, a lot for one church, you know. See? Note, Paul said that we must sing or play with understanding, not just with talent. The singers and the musician must have a revelation of the message. That's missing of the message. Okay, all right. Now let's look at the placing. Everything is in the Word of God. We just have to find it. Moreover, watch David place. David is a pastor. He's a shepherd. He's placing the gifts. Watch the importance of these gifts. These are not priests. Watch them. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated the service of the sons of Asaphah and of Heman and of Jedutam, who should prophesy with harps, who should play with harps, and with the psalteries, and with the cymbals, and the number of workmen according to their service was. There's a lot of people. So he said, look, we're going to break it up. All right? We have the wind instrument. We have the percussion. We have the, you see? So he's going to break them up. All right, and he's going to put people over them so that they can monitor them and develop them. Of the sons of Asaphah, Zachor and Joseph, Nitaniah and Asarela, and sons of Asaphah under the hands of Asaphah, which prophesy according to the order of the king. Of Jedutam, the son of Jedutam, and Jedaliah, and Zerai, and Dam, and Dam, and Deev, and Dee. 6 under the hands of the father of Jedutam, who prophesied with harps to give thanks and praise. You notice? what he began to do is that if he have more than one song leader, he said, well, he knows this one is really for praise. He's really good in praise. Getting the congregational. There's one of them there. He's really good to really just lead the songs, congregationals. You see? So you've got to know the gifts. You've got to know how to use them. When to use them. And then he goes here. He goes again and he says, of Heman, of the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shabiel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, and so on and so on and so on. And all of these were the sons of Heman, the king's seers of the word of God, to lift up the horns. That's that'll be like your wind instruments, like your trumpet, your saxophones, your diff, you see, and to give Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. And these were under the hands of the father of song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals and psalteries and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order, to Asaphah, Jeduam, and him. And the number of the brethren instructed, that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all were cunning, who was 108. Okay, I'm going to skip. We must sing songs in the inspiration of the pastor. That means a prayer life. That means a prayer life for the ministers of songs. That they pray that God, the same God who's inspiring the pastor with thoughts and words and sermons going along this way, will also give him the same inspiration to choose the songs that he feels in his heart that he wants to sing now. And God will do that. He works like that. And then he must learn to sing songs of the seasons. The seasons represented the feast days. So there are times you sing about the atonement, about Calvary, about the cross. time about Feast of the Trumpets, the garden of the people and the prophet and the message and the, see, you have to know about singing the right songs in the right season. For Easter, what kind of songs? For the Feast of Tabernacles, what that meant. So you see, a song leader has to be almost like a minister, except the way that he ministers the message, the songs that he's doing is telling a story for that day. You see, so the minister is coming to preach a sermon to bring you to a conclusion, a start and a conclusion. And the song leader is starting to sing a song to tell a story. A story, either a story of praise and why and how and this. Or a story of redemption about Calvary and about the blood. You see him carry you through it. You see, that is what you do. You just don't pick songs. You see, you pick the inspiration of the story that you feel you want to tell. And you tell it in songs. I pray that we be a people of not tradition. We come in, we do things without understanding. We overlook the gifts because we don't think it's that important. Therefore, we dishonor the giver of the gifts. Let us honor our musicians, our songwriters, our song leaders. Let us thank God for the gifts that he has placed among you, whatever church you are, wherever you're listening in from. Let us come to church with a revelation and with an understanding. And let the elders keep on repeating these concepts about coming in those doors and remind them often. Let the song leader remind them of some of the concepts I told you here. Are you ready? We are in the right order of the Lord. Are you ready to do battle this morning? Are you ready to lift up your voice? That you are ready for God to arise and inhabit your praise? Are you ready for your enemies to scatter and break your yoke of thinking and burden and grief that you're entering here with? Are you ready for the sword of deliverance when the word comes to deliver you from fear and from condemnation and from anxieties and from conscience and reasoning and doubts and put faith muscles in you that you can break the bands of whatever is holding you? I say to you, friends, we are on the verge of a great experience. If we can get our churches, our elders, our fivefold ministry in order, I say to you that nothing can stop this bride. Nothing. If we would stay with his divine order. God bless you. Keep you. I know I had to scatter it with deacons, trustees. I try to put a little bit of everything within there. But mostly I wanted to, like last year, the importance of the order of the Lord and the order of battle. You can take many different things. How the ark came across, how the distances between the priests and the ark and the musicians, and you can do a lot of things in respects. You can preach forever. That's how important worship is. And when all the preaching is over, worship will not be over. God bless you. God keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. I never had time to say thank you to Brother Roy and Sister Priscilla for their kindness, Brother Trevor, Brother Rev, Brother Larry, Sister Peggy, Brother Darren, and I'm just so thankful for the many who have entered their homes and invited us to bless us with their gifts, and I'm thankful for the kindness showed towards my wife and Anna and the gifts that you have given along the way, and now your prayers, you do your part and pray for me to do my part. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Brother Louis.
Amen. We appreciate the ministry tonight. And we have, honestly, I have so much to learn. I don't know about you. I'm sitting there and thinking, wow, there's a lot the Lord expects of us. And may we take it to our hearts and understand that it has a high calling. Sometimes we think that certain areas are not important and not meaningful, but every part is important in the machinery of God. Amen. We thank God for such a wonderful gift. And may each one of us, even those of us brothers that are streaming, may we understand the order of the battle. It's amazing how God places these things in the scriptures and the ministry as well. And until we come to that order, we cannot really have that victory. We cannot have the deliverance. We cannot have the enemy coming down, falling apart. So it's for each one of us needs to contribute. We cannot be sidetracked in anything. You know, sometimes we just look just to the preacher or we look to a deacon, but every one of us are part of that army. Amen. So may the Lord be gracious to bless our dear pastor and his gift. Let's give the Lord a hand there. So say once again, thank you to the families that have come from the States. Sister Jill, Anna is not here. And dear brother Mitchell, dear sister Chris, we appreciate all that you've done, the sacrifices you've made, and you've been on the road for almost 2 months. Some of you might say, well, it's a good tour, but when you realize how tired they are, the sacrifices they made, they leave behind the responsibilities pastor left behind his church, and his responsibility just to come and to ensure that the believers out in Africa and Namibia and Mauritius, keeping that pathway, we really appreciate that. Just remember them in prayer. They would leave on Tuesday, 3 o'clock flight. They leave there. So appreciate each one of you for coming together as well. The Lord richly bless you and grant you safe traveling mercies. Let's all stand together and let us pray. And Brother Terence will come along. The musicians will dismiss with the song. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, we sit here, Lord, tonight under this gift. We realize, Father, how much we need to learn and come to that order. Because, Lord, you have laid it in your word. Your work is never haphazard, Father. Everything is methodical and organized to achieve a desired effect. And, dear Father, we see that you've not only placed the ministry but also the order in the of the battle in terms of the music, the deacons, the trustees. Lord, even you've placed the people that follow the ark, oh God, how they ought to line up and the distance they are to keep, Lord, in order so that the enemy can fall down. May we all come to this full understanding and revelation of what has been taught tonight and go home and listen to the recordings to realize that we are in a battle. And Father, unless we are dressed for the battle and have a right attitude and fall in line with the order that you have, Lord, placed in your word, we cannot enjoy that which you have promised. May we forget ourselves, and Lord, we come under subjection to your word and keep us, O Lord, from our own will, but Lord, help us to do your will. Lord, lead us, Lord, into the right footsteps and the revelations of the songs that we would sing and write, the instruments that we would play, Father, that may it be according to the time and the season, Lord, and the day, Lord, and according to the theme that you want us to be in. We realize, Father, there's so much of learning that we ought to do so that we could come and line up to that order, Father, so that we can be cleansed, oh, Father. Commissioned, O Lord, and go out there to do battle for you. We thank you for our dear apostle. We thank you, God, for this gift. Words fail us, O God, to see how you could use a man so humble, Father, and yet in such a tremendous way to rightly divide and place, Lord, the ministry, Father. Truly, Lord, time is not enough to sit under this gift, Father. We ask, Lord, that you'd strengthen him, and we thank you, Father, that you just renew his energy. Lord, he has much responsibilities across the world. He does not really show it, Father, but we have a glimpse of, Lord, of what he has, Lord. We ask that you would keep him, Father, protect him. Lord, that you would bring men, Lord, into his lives that could help him, Father, to carry this battle forward. Lord, in the different places, the vineyards, Lord, you know that he wants to place a footprint of this truth. And
Lord, may you lead his path, Lord, and open doors where Satan has closed. And Father, you'd, Lord, that you'll go before him in everything that he would do and bless his hands and extend, oh God. Lord, to come down here has cost him so much of money. And we ask, Lord, as your people, that you'd return that to Father a hundredfold and add, oh God, to his finances, oh God. Because, Lord, you know your servant's heart. He wants to do more, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, not for himself or his family. We pray that you just grant it, Father, and give him good health and strengthen him, we pray, Father. You know, oh God, our hearts, that we want him to be with us for a long time, Lord. Guard him and protect him, Father, because there's so many of us are looking up to him, oh God, and looking for guidance and leadership and wisdom, oh God, and mentoring so that we, Lord, can stay in line with the battle. Thank you, for Lord, for Eagle Faith Tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for the humility of Lord, for the congregation, Lord, men and women that support this ministry, Father. Lord, South Carolina, Lord, like little Bethlehem, so insignificant, but Lord, yet it is shaking the world, Father. It's making the oneness, Lord, this, Lord, run for cover, Father. It's making those in Babylon, Lord, hate us, Lord, and then we realize we are on the right path. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them, Father. Thank you, Lord, for our dear brother Mitchell, John, and our dear sister, Lord. They've come, Lord, all the way from Canada, and Kevin as well. Bless them, Father. We ask, Lord, that you'd undertake for them, Lord. Especially, Lord, we pray for our dear sister Jill and Anna, Lord, the tremendous sacrifice they make, Lord. Many do not know, Lord, the price they have to pay, and, Lord, the hours of loneliness and responsibilities they have, and yet they have to keep, oh God, that Christian disposition. Strengthen them, oh God, and pray that you build a hedge around them, Father, and keep them, Lord. The world is looking up to them, Father. Even the oneness is looking at them, Father. Even the believers, Lord, we believe you. Had it not been for your grace, oh God, where would they be, Father? We pray that you just keep them, Lord. And even as they would leave, oh Father, on Tuesday, we pray for your grace and strength. And Lord, the journey, the preparations, Lord, and Lord, the planes that they will travel, we leave you for your protection upon them. Thank you, Father, for the families of God that during the course of this week have expended the time, the energies, the efforts, Lord, to see that your children have been taken care of, Lord. We pray that you bless them, and especially, Lord, Brother Logan and Brother Denver and Brother Yogan, Lord, who's handled the logistics and, Lord, the travelings, we appreciate them, Father. We pray that you just bless them, Father. Lord, we thank you for such fine men, Lord, that could make those sacrifices. So, Lord, the ministry could become easy. We pray that you'd bless them, Father. And all the families that have come together, we pray that you bless them. All the elders that are streaming in as well. Lord, may they continuously uphold the apostolic teachings. And, Lord, look to the man, Lord, that you've placed in our care, Lord, that, Lord, that we will not bring reproach to this ministry, that we'll keep that name, Lord, and honor, Lord, the ministry, the gift that you've, Lord, that you've placed in our presence, Lord, that in all things that we'll do to please thee, Father, to bless us even as we wind our way home. And thank you, Lord, for all the elders and their wives as well. Bless them, we pray, and the families of God. We appreciate you and thank you now and ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody said, Amen. God bless you, Brother Terrence.